Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
One little boy, he was asked one time to define salt. Define, what is salt? And he said, salt is what makes potatoes taste bad when you leave it out. Pretty true, isn't it? Yeah. Have your potatoes this Thursday with no salt in them. Yeah. And you know, I think that's a lot like Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is what makes life taste bad when it's left out. When we don't live a thankful life, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, is a thankful life. What many people don't realize is that Thanksgiving, gratitude, is a foundational aspect of being a Christ follower. To walk in God's abundance, and abundance is our theme for 2023. To walk in God's abundance, we need to be thankful, otherwise we will not recognize all the blessings, all the good things that God has done for us, what he's given us. And so this morning, I want to welcome everyone here. So glad that you've been with us on this Thanksgiving Sunday. I want to welcome especially our first-time guests. It's good to have you with us. And also our online audience. Welcome those who are joining us on live stream this morning. I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. How many are ready for Thanksgiving? Boy, that's my favorite holiday of the year. Christmas is close behind it. My birthday, that's a holiday. Yeah, okay, all right. But no, in your notes this morning, if you're taking notes, and they are on the back on our app, our Radius Church app, or they're in the back of your worship program, in your notes, a thankful life is when Thanksgiving is a lifestyle, not just a once-a-year holiday. Thanksgiving is not something that we just do once a year or even once a week when we come to church, we give thanks and praise to God. God has intended Thanksgiving, gratitude, to be a lifestyle in our lives. There's four levels of living in gratitude to God. If you're taking notes this morning, the lowest level is constant complaining. Constant complaining. Ever been around someone who's constantly complaining? And don't raise your hand, okay? And don't elbow the person next to you, all right? Don't do that. But you know, this person, they're always down in the dumps. They're always pessimistic, always negative, always grumbling, complaining, critical, griping, criticizing. Instead of being humbly grateful, they're grumbly hateful. Instead of humbly grateful, they're grumbly hateful. They're people that they can never be grateful about anything. That's the lowest level. And there are some people like that. That attitude repels everyone around you. It makes you be a person that no one wants to be around. And so if you're a Christ follower and you're constantly complaining, what does that do to your witness? What does that do to your witness? Just think about that. The second level of living in gratitude to God is to never give thanks for anything. You never give thanks for anything. It's not that they're complaining, it's just they never say thanks. They're kind of neutral. While they never say anything bad, they also never say anything good and recognize the goodness of God, God's blessings. When people help them, they do something nice for them. They never recognize it. It's almost like they live with entitlement, thinking, well, that's what I deserve, so I don't need to say thanks. That's what you should give me. It's a right. People that never say thanks, they're just kind of neutral. The third level of gratitude is they give thanks to God, but only for the obvious. They give thanks to God, but only for the obvious. They get a new car, they're thankful. They get a promotion at work or a raise, and they're thankful. Their health is good. The bills are paid. The kids are doing well in school. They're thankful, but as soon as something bad happens, then they grumble, then they complain. They give gratitude for the obvious, but for the so many other things in life that are not obvious, they grumble and complain. They're part complaining and part thankful. The fourth level of thanksgiving, of living in a life of gratitude to God, is one that we all need to strive for, and that is constant gratitude. constant gratitude. This is the highest level of all. It is a lifestyle of thanksgiving. It's a life that is thankful. I have a thankful life in everything. A person who has this kind of attitude, it will change their life. And we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, so you can turn there in your Bibles if you want. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is going to suddenly bring up the topic of thanksgiving two times, and in doing so, he's going to share five principles about a thankful life. All right, so let's dive into that this morning. We begin with verses 3 and 4. This is what the Apostle Paul says as he's addressing the role of thanksgiving in the Christ follower's life. He says, among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper. Say improper. Improper for God's holy people. Who are God's holy people? Us. We are. That's us. If you're a Christ follower, he's speaking to us. Verse 4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse jesting, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Now, Paul says there's many things that are improper for Christ followers. He says no hint of sexual immorality or impurity. That means no lust, no pornography. There's no, if you're in a dating relationship, there's no sex until your marriage. And once you're married, then there's only sex with your spouse. All right? No one else. No hint of sexual immorality. He goes on to say, no greed. I think we all know what that is. He talks about no obscenity, no swear words. And here's the thing. Sometimes people say, well, this isn't mentioned in the Bible, so I can say this. Friends, if society recognizes something as a swear word, as profanity, then you don't say it. Because that is not proper. It's not fitting for Christians. Paul goes on to say, no foolish talk. And what's interesting, this word foolish is used various places in the Bible. Jesus used it when he was talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, when he was addressing them for being legalistic, for being hypocritical, for doing one thing and saying another. He used it when he was talking about the 10 foolish virgins who didn't have oil. They were just living their life any way they wanted without any thought for Jesus coming back. And then he also used it to talk about when the wise man and the foolish man, the wise man built his house on the rock, and the foolish man, he heard the word of God, but he deliberately disobeyed it and he didn't do it. What Paul is talking about is having speech that's hypocritical. You promote one thing, an image of one thing, but you're really living a double life. Or you're a legalistic person. You got to do this and that and do this and that. And you just have all these regulations and rules and you're very rigid. Or a person that hears the word of God, but then you know what the word says, but you speak things that are totally opposite. These things are not proper. And then last of all, he says, no coarse joking. That would be rude and abusive marks that dishonor people. It's also dirty jokes, speaking with innuendo, with sexual undertones. Paul says all of these things are improper and they're out of place for believers. They shouldn't be in your life. But what's interesting when he says, what is proper for the Christian life? What is not out of place? And the thing is, when I look at this list, I would think he's talking about immorality, purity, greed. He's going to say what is proper is selflessness or generosity or purity. He doesn't say that. What does he say is proper? Thanksgiving. That's how foundational thanksgiving is for the Christ follower's life. So in your notes this morning, number one, the first principle Paul teaches us about thanksgiving is that thankful living is proper. Thankful living is proper. Paul is going to further, the second time he addresses thankfulness is in verse 20, and we're going to unpack that a little bit more. But just to give you a preview, this is what Paul says, giving thanks always, that's how proper it is, always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to think for a moment, what's the opposite of thankfulness? Ingratitude, being ungrateful, unthankfulness. What are those characteristic of? Paul talks about that also in your notes. Letter A, unthankfulness is a mark of ungodly people. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 21, he says, "The wrath of God is suppressed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because although they knew God," so they knew there's a God out there who created them, and you see that in the verses in between, "they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful." Unthankfulness is a mark of an ungodly, wicked, evil, unrighteous person. Letter B in your notes, unthankfulness is also a mark of the end times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, "But know this, in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." Friends, unthankfulness is a mark of a lost person, a person in the end times who's going to be rejecting God. Unthankfulness has no place in the believer's life. It's not proper. What is proper is for you and for me, for those watching online, for those everywhere, to be grateful and thankful to God. God wants us to live with this abundance of thanksgiving, recognizing that He is our source of everything. He's our source of salvation. We understand the grace of God. We should be the most grateful people on the planet. Thanksgiving is so important that when Paul was writing to all the different churches, in almost every single letter to a church, he talked about thankfulness. We've seen it in Ephesians. We just saw it in Romans. In Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, Paul says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Recognize the victory. Those who were in the Freedom Conference, recognize the victory, the freedom God has given you, and be grateful for it. And that's all of us. Jesus has given us victory. There's about five of you who are grateful for that. Let's try that again, okay? Jesus has given you victory. Amen. Yes, that's something to be grateful for. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." To the Colossians in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul wrote, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught," look at this, "abounding in it with thanksgiving." And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." It's God's will for you to give thanks in everything. We'll explain what that means in just a moment. But we can see over and over, Paul's telling Christ followers, thanksgiving is proper. A thankful life is a proper life. I hope you're catching how important gratitude is for us to be people that have a thankful life. All right, let's take a look at the second thing that Paul teaches in regarding to thanksgiving. And he says that a thankful life is powerful. A thankful life is powerful. So back in Ephesians, we're going to jump from verses 3 and 4 down to verse 15, all right? Paul says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Paul said we're living in a bad day, a day where it's tough to make good decisions, so be careful. He goes on to say, don't be stupid. Look at this, verse 17, "Therefore don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." He says, know what God's will is. The fool has said in his heart there is no God, so he doesn't know God's will. He makes foolish decisions. And in that culture, people believed that the way you found the will of and realized they didn't believe in a God. The pagans believed in multiple gods. So the way you found the will of the gods, the way that you heard the gods, as you'd go into a pagan temple under the influence of alcohol or drugs, and then in this altered state of consciousness, the gods would speak to you, and that's how you would know the will of the gods. Paul says, it's stupid. Don't be foolish. Don't mess with that. Verse 18, he says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And look what happens when a person is filled with the Spirit. He goes right into it, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, always giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're filled with the Spirit, it's going to be evident. You're making melody in your heart. You're praising God. There's this thanksgiving and gratitude that just flows out of you because you've been filled with the Spirit. Thankfulness is powerful. So many times we talk about being filled with the Spirit. We think of witnessing and doing great things for God. But do you realize that if you have ingratitude, it's like a nail in a tire that lets the air out, it lets the Spirit out, and you don't have the anointing? Think about the influence you have if you walk around grumbling, complaining, criticizing, being negative, grumpy. Is anyone, are they going to say, oh, that's what a Christian is? I want to be a follower of Jesus. Friends, you lose the power of the Spirit with an attitude of ingratitude. Thanksgiving is powerful, and a lifestyle of thanksgiving can thwart grumbling and complaining and negativity in your life. How powerful is it? 2 Chronicles chapter 20 gives us a great example of the power of thanksgiving. King Jehoshaphat, he's serving God, he's following God, and in the middle of his reign, an extremely large army comes to invade the city, and he is outnumbered. There is no way that he can overcome the enemy. So he calls on God, and he calls a national fast. He asks the people of Israel to come, gather together for a sacred assembly to pray and to fast. And as they do that, if you would read that chapter, he never grumbles, he never complains. And that is key, because here's the thing. Some of us, we've lost a battle before we've started. Because we start grumbling and complaining, God, why have you allowed this to happen? I don't get it, God. And we just get a holy, really it's an unholy ticked off. It's not righteous anger, it's selfish anger. Kind of a sense of entitlement, God, I deserve better than this. And we lose the battle when we fall into that trap. What takes place is that as they're praying and fasting and calling on God, a prophet comes and he says that God is going to be with you. He's going to help you. He says the battle is the Lord's. How many of you have ever heard of that? And there are some of you today, you're going through a situation that you're overwhelmed. You feel like an insurmountable army, insurmountable odds are against you, and you don't know how you're going to make it. The battle is not yours unless you want it to be. You see, if you don't give the battle to God and you keep fretting and griping and complaining instead of giving it to God and trusting God, God can't work the way he would. And he might come through, but you're going to be miserable in spite of it all. God wants to know that you trust him. And he wants you to know that he's in charge if you just give him the battle. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, the prophet says this, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you, don't be afraid or discouraged. God's saying that to some of you this morning. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is yours, is not yours, but it's God's. And in verse 21, what does Jehoshaphat do? He appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. You know, I'm not a military strategist, but putting my worship team at the front of the army doesn't seem like the wisest move, does it? I mean, give me the guys that got the biggest guns here and the biggest guns here, the guys that are my best warriors to intimidate. I'm not sending out the praise team. I mean, nothing against the praise team. We got a great praise team, don't we? Amen. The praise team, how would you like it if I sent you out against an army with, you know, guns and knives? I mean, that just doesn't make sense. But this is what happens. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Friends, I want you to catch this morning. It's in your notes. A thankful heart is the conduit by which you have the power of God enter your situation. A thankful heart is the conduit by which you allow God's power to enter your situation, your life, the mess you're in. But a life of ingratitude, of being unthankful, it clogs it up. That's how powerful thanksgiving is. They thank God, they praise God, and He won the battle. Friends, when the battle is raging, you need to be praising. When the battle is raging, you need to be praising. That's not in your notes. That's extra for free today, okay? When the battle's raging, say it with me. I need to be praising. Say it again. When the battle is raging, I need to be praising. I need to be thanking God, because a thankful life is proper. A thankful life is powerful. Number three, let's take a look at number three this morning, what Paul teaches us. And he says a thankful life, thankful living is perpetual. Thankful living is perpetual. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks 50% of the time. Is that what it says? Giving thanks when things are good. No, giving thanks when, woohoo, God answered prayer. No, giving thanks always in the good times and in the bad. Thanksgiving's not to be limited to one day a year or one day a week. It is in all things, all days, 24/7, thanksgiving is perpetual. God is so awesome, so wonderful. He's done so much for us. He deserves thanks and praise continually. I'm going to give you two reasons. They're there in your notes. Why should we thank God continually? The first one mentioned there in your notes is Psalm 68, verse 19. And it's that God daily bears our burdens. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God of our salvation. And here's the thing, notice, God bears our burdens whether we ask Him to or not. You realize that? Right now, God is bearing burdens for you and for me that we aren't even aware of. He is bearing your burdens. He is not, some of you say, oh, it's so tough, it's so bad. God is not allowing the weight of your financial crisis, your health crisis, your marriage crisis, your kids, whatever it might be, your addiction. He's not allowing that weight to crush you. He will not tempt you above what you're able, but He will give you a way of escape. God is bearing the burden. He's shouldering it. You are underneath Him, and He's letting you feel some of the weight, so you'll call out to God and say, God, help. God, I need you. God, if I have sought my own ways, I lay down my will, not my will, but yours be done. But He is daily, moment by moment, bearing your burdens. The second reason we should give thanks to God continually is that His compassions are new every day. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's one of my favorite hymns. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, to me. This morning, you woke up clothed in your right mind, able to think logically and rationally. Did you thank God for that today? Did you specifically recognize that and thank God for that? At breakfast, most of us were able to decide what we wanted, to go to the fridge or go to the cupboard and have whatever we want. We didn't have to think about it. Some of us, I think probably all of us, had a place to live last night. You had shelter over your head with heat. And this morning you had running water. Most of us had some kind of transportation to get here, even if it wasn't ours. Someone brought us here. We probably didn't walk unless we wanted to walk. All of us, I see, have clothes on this morning. And we probably had multiple outfits to pick from. All of us, most of us, have eyes to see colors, to see shapes, to see our loved ones. Have ears to hear sounds, to hear the singing and the worship to the Lord, and to hear our loved ones say, I love you. I care about you. Friends, we have new mercies every single morning. Wiggle your fingers. There are some, maybe you have arthritis, you can't move them at all. I hope not, but that's a mercy from God. Being able to walk, being able to bend over, tie your shoes. Friends, there are so many things God has given us. God's mercy to us. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He extends blessings to us over and over and over. We have a lot to be thankful for. Let's go on. Let's look at principle number four. Thankful living is pervasive. It's pervasive. Paul said in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said not some things, not just when things go your own way, not when you get a new car or a new job or a bonus of some kind or any type of material physical blessing. He says in all things. And I want to share with you three not so obvious blessings, three areas to be thankful about, okay? Number one in your notes is spiritual things. The spiritual things, it starts out with salvation, God's forgiveness, and His friendship. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. All of us are sinners. All of us deserve hell. But Jesus died to take our sin, to bear our sin, so we can get to heaven. And as a result, we can be forgiven and have friendship with God. Friends, if all God ever did was give us Jesus, that is reason enough to thank Him. If that's all we ever received and nothing else, that would be it. But there's so much more. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need to make it through life today, God is giving you. Everything to live a godly life of victory, of being an overcomer, God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. God has given us spiritual wisdom in His Word so we can know how to have life to the fullest, to live the abundant life God wants us to have. God has given us the Holy Spirit who lives inside of the Christ follower, and the Holy Spirit teaches us. He guides us. He convicts us. He just helps us. He warns us about things. He comforts us. So many spiritual blessings we've been given. Joy, peace, discernment, the spiritual realities that are the greatest realities than the physical realities we live in. God has given us spiritual blessings. The next thing that is a not so obvious thing to be thankful for is simple things. We tend to forget the simple things God gives us. Water. When's the last time you thank God for a water? Huh? You take a drink? Thank you, God. I've got pure water. You realize that India is the second most populated nation in the world, but 75% of their water is contaminated and it's not fit for consumption. 75%. And yet, we go over to the tap whenever we want and get a glass of water. And some of us say, I'm not getting tap. I get my filtered water or my bottled water. And we are so blessed. We take all these little conveniences. This morning, did you thank God for your coffee maker? For those, how many of you just love coffee? Did you thank God for your coffee maker this morning? Or how about your toaster if you had a piece of buttered toast? Did you thank God for your microwave if you were making something quick, you know, like quick oatmeal this morning? Or did you thank God for your stove and the frying pan to cook your bacon and eggs and pancakes? Did you thank God for the fridge that kept everything? Did you thank God for the cupboards that held everything, for the home that everything was in? All these simple things in life that we just kind of take for granted, they're not so obvious, but they're right in front of our nose. God, help us to see all the blessings He's given us. A third not so obvious area is the sorrowful things, the spiritual, the simple, and the sorrowful. This one's hard for us. To thank God in everything, even when things are going bad. To thank Him when things are going bad. So, does that mean I'm supposed to thank God for child abuse? For war? For the people that are dying and held hostage over in Israel by the Hamas? And you hear about the horrible things. Does that mean I'm supposed to thank God for rape? I'm supposed to thank God for cancer? For suffering, for starvation, for death? No, that's not what that means. Those things are terrible, and it's not being thankful for them, but even in the midst of them, did you realize God can bring good? And so I'm thanking God for the good that He can bring out of the sorrowful things. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, we know that in all things, there's that all again. He said, give thanks for all things. Here he says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. God works for the good in your life. And you may not realize it for years. You may not realize it until you reach eternity. But God has promised that He's working all things for good. Even when we don't understand, when it doesn't make sense. I can thank God for the things that are happening that I don't like. The things that I wouldn't do myself. Some of you, maybe this is what you need to say this morning. You need to say, Lord, this is not what I would have wanted. And it's a terrible situation, but I know, Lord, that You are in the middle of this and You're working for my good. That You'll take something that Satan meant for evil and You'll work it for the good. You'll bring some kind of good somehow, some way out of this. And so, God, I just thank You for that, that although I don't understand and although I never would have chosen it, Lord, You're able in this situation, a very sad situation, to bring something into it that will strengthen my life and will ultimately work to Your glory and to my good. That's a very mature perspective, but something that all of us need to strive for. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? That's what you can thank God for in the midst of the sorrowful situations that you're walking through right now. Thanksgiving is proper, it's powerful, it's perpetual, it's pervasive. The last thing this morning Paul teaches us about Thanksgiving is that thankful living is possible. Thankful living is possible. Some of you say, Craig, you don't understand. I, by nature, I'm a realist. I see things the way they are. The glass is not half full, that's half empty, for crying out. When you look at the donut, you don't see the pastry, you see the hole, okay? Here's the thing. You can't experience abundance, and you can't walk in faith if you're a pessimist. If Peter was a pessimist, he never would have got out of the boat and walked on water. If he would have said, it can't be done. If he would have said, this is horrible, this storm is bad. If he was grumbling, complaining, criticizing. You see, that steals faith from your life. You cannot be a person who walks in faith and in victory if you're grumbling and complaining. That's why thankfulness is so important to us. You say, well, you don't understand my personality. I just naturally see things. I'm analytical, I critical, I see things, what's wrong. Or maybe that's the way I grew up. My parents were like that. Friends, you can't blame it on personality. You can't blame it on upbringing. You can't blame it on your situation. Because ingratitude, unthankfulness, is a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. It's part of our sin nature. Not being content with what God has given us. Adam and Eve in the garden, they were unthankful. I needed more. God's not good enough. And their ingratitude led to their downfall. We need to realize that a thankful life is possible. Why? Because in verse 18, he says, be filled with the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. If we surrender our lives to the Spirit, we can walk in the Spirit, and then there'll be singing and making melody in the heart and giving thanks in everything. It is a spiritual thing, not a mental thing, not an act of our will, but it is just living in communion with the Holy Spirit, letting Him fill us, focusing on the goodness of God. It is possible. Because God says all things are possible. We sang about it today. I can do anything, including being grateful and living a thankful life. Some of you this morning, you're not a thankful person, and you need to admit it. You need to say, God, I am a grumbler. I am a complainer. I'm a pessimist. I criticize, I'm negative, and God, it's sin. It's possible for me to be thankful, and I need your help. I repent of my sin, I turn from it. What's God speaking to you today about a thankful life? Let's pray this morning. Jesus, in this moment, I pause and thank you. Thank you first and foremost for dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, if that was the only thing you'd ever done for us, it would be enough for us to give you thanks. But Jesus, you have done so much more. And today we need your power to do what we can't do. We need your Spirit to work in us what we can't work on our own. Help us to live thankful lives. For those who are here or those online, I just want you to think about the four levels of living in gratitude to God that we talked about, that we started the message off with. Where do you see yourself falling in there? Are you at level number one, where you're constantly complaining? Always negative, miserable about life. Maybe you're at the second level where you don't complain, but you don't give thanks. You don't thank others, you don't thank God, you really don't recognize His goodness. Maybe some of you, you're at level three. I kind of see that's probably where I spend a lot of my time. I see the obvious and I'm thankful for that, but man, when things go a little sideways, they don't go according to my plan, I get frustrated, I get agitated, irritated. I'm not living at that level four of constant gratitude, giving thanks in everything. How many this morning you'd say, God's speaking to me that I need to raise the bar in my gratitude. I need to go to a higher level when it comes to a thankful life. If that's you, would you just raise your hand this morning? Put it up high if God's talking to you about anything today regarding Thanksgiving. Thank you. See those hands. for us to live a thankful life. I mentioned how we need the Holy Spirit, but here's the thing. There are some of us, we have never surrendered our life to Christ. You see, when you surrender your life to Christ and realize that Jesus died for your sin, that you're a sinner, and you need to give him control of your life, then the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. But until you've asked God for his forgiveness and leadership, you don't have the Holy Spirit, and it's impossible to live a life of constant gratitude. And maybe there's some of you here this morning that you need to surrender your life to Jesus. You realize that you have sinned. You've never asked God to forgive you. Or maybe you've been trusting your goodness. You thought, man, I go to church or I'm a good person. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't, you know, committed adultery. I haven't robbed the bank. I'm not a terrorist. I'm a good person. But friends, no one is good. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us need to realize that I can't be perfect. I need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When I give my sin to God, God gives me his perfection, his righteousness. He sees me as perfect. If you're here this morning and you need God's forgiveness and leadership in your life, I'd like you to raise your hand. Just put your hand up high. Anyone in the house today, you'd say, that's me, Craig. I need Jesus as my forgiver. Thank you. I see that hand there in the back. Anyone else this morning? You'd say, I want God's forgiveness. I want him to save me from my sin. I want his friendship. I want to know God in a personal way. Anyone else? For those who are watching online and God's speaking to your heart, you know he's convicting you of sin, that you need to let go of control and let God have charge of your life. Right now, I just want you to raise your hand and say, God, that's me. I want a relationship with you. Please forgive me. I want you to follow me. Just put your hand up wherever you're watching us today. Anyone else in the house, you'd say, hey, God's talking to me. I've been trying to resist, but I know I need to surrender to God. If that's you, would you just put your hand up before we move on? This is your opportunity. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? I'm going to say a prayer. I would like every person to repeat after me. No one praying alone, all right? Let's repeat this prayer. Lord God, I know I've done wrong. Please forgive me of all my sin. I surrender everything. You are in control. I receive your forgiveness and your leadership. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sin. Help me live for you. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.